Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I got to see if I can track down the audio. I think it was Miranda Devine on Sean Hannity's radio show yesterday afternoon. But basically, as the Disney family in Libby was recapping it for me here, because they were the first ones. Big thanks to them for telling me, hey, Montana Senator Tim Sheehy is going to be on Mark Levin's program. And so thanks to them, I was able to catch part of Mark Levin's program last night on the radio. And I pulled it up on my computer through our live stream so I could record some of the audio so we could share some of that for you early morning folks. If you might have missed the afternoon radio lineup on, you know, KJJR, they've got a great lineup with Mark Levin, Sean Hannity, Montana Talks, and the rest of the crew, just like many of you have on your radio stations across Montana. But yeah, apparently Miranda Devine was talking. She's the one that's got that accent. I can't remember if it's British or Australian, but she's done incredible reporting on the Hunter Biden laptop. She's got books on the subject and much more. She's with the New York Post. But she was talking about the California fires. And she said that basically when the wacko environmentalists and the Democrats went after Ryan Zinke, Montana's Western District Congressman, who was serving as Trump's Interior Secretary. Remember all the stupid BS attacks they launched against Zinke? So here was Ryan Zinke. And in fact, I've got a headline in front of me here. Where did I put it? Several headlines here from back then, back in the first Trump term, where, you know, here's Ryan Zinke serving as the first ever cabinet member from Montana as Trump's Interior Secretary. And they were battling California over water. And hey, don't just spill that water out into the ocean. You got to hold on to that water. It prevents wildfires. It's good for the land. It's good for the environment. It's good for farmers. It's good for ranchers. It's good for the people who need, ding, 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 water. Now they're wondering, why don't we have any water? How come the fire hydrants don't have water as we're trying to fight these massive fires? Yeah, the LA Times had a story back in August of 2018 about how, you know, Interior Secretary Zinke and President Trump went to war with California and the environmentalists over water. McClatchy News out of D.C. had a story on that same front as well. And that was the story that I was looking for here in my stack of stuff. I know I've got it here somewhere. But basically, yeah, it talks about the fact that Trump Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke and President Trump himself were taking the battle up for the people of California to stop this environmental wacko nonsense. And but of course, you know, then the environmentalists got their way in full under Gavin Newsom, who still remains the governor of California for some odd reason. And then, of course, the Biden regime comes in. And it's full-blown environmental wackoism right now. But, man, you know, Donald Trump and then-Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke, you know, if only the good people, few that may be, of California were able to benefit right now from the policy supported by President Trump and Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke, they'd be a lot better off.
This is House Call for Health. Virtual meetings might be doing more than facilitating workplace collaboration. Recent studies show it could be fueling a desire for cosmetic procedures. It's part of a phenomenon nicknamed video conferencing dysmorphia. Researchers from Harvard Medical School and Boston University, among others, say the COVID-19 pandemic triggered a rise in consideration for cosmetic procedures. Researchers looked at more than 500 participants and found the more time people spent looking at themselves during a video call, the more likely they were to think about getting cosmetic surgery. Features like touch up my appearance on online meeting platforms also influencing individuals' perception of themselves. Nearly 90% of people surveyed say they used video conferencing apps more than 3 days a week. The data is published in the Journal of Clinical and Aesthetic Dermatology. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
We did it for the 2023 session. We're going to do it for the 2025 session. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Every Thursday on our show, we're going to hear from legislative leadership. Maybe a recap of everything that took place at the Montana legislature or a look ahead at what they're working on right now. Coming up every Thursday, we're going to be joined by Senate President Matt Regeer out of Kalispell. He'll join us for our first update of the 2025 session coming up Thursday, statewide, Montana Talks, 9 to 10. Right here.
Put a frog in boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As veterans, we tell ourselves the lie that we can handle anything. We let the water boil. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're going to have phone lines open for you here in just a few minutes. If you got something you want to talk about or you want to jump in on the conversation. But, yeah, big thanks to the Disney family in Libby for sending me a message yesterday saying, hey, Mark Levin just mentioned, he just quoted Montana Senator Tim Sheehy, and he mentioned that Sheehy is going to be on his program in hour three. So I made sure I was recording audio so that we could share some of that with you here in the morning, just in case you missed it on Mark Levin's program for your evening lineup on the radio. But Mark Levin was making a great point about how, look, you can mitigate and in some cases even prevent some of these so-called natural disasters. You can do something about it. You know, forest health projects, etc. But see, and this is the point I wanted to make here, but see, the left, what do they always do? I forget who first shared this line. It might have been Travis Kavula, who was a public service commissioner here in Montana over about a decade or so ago. You know, the young man out of Great Falls, Harvard graduate. He was a character, he is a character. But I think he's back in D.C. area now. But anyway, I think he's the one who shared this line. But then I asked him, and he's like, maybe it was me, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. Anyway, it's a great line. Climate change is the new my dog ate my homework excuse for the Democrats and for the left. See, their failed policies either caused these things to happen or are responsible for making these things much worse. But see, they never get held accountable by most in the media because they'll just sit back and blame everything on climate change. Blame climate change, right? We had a John Brendan out of Scobie sing that song for us. They just want to blame climate change. So, there's not enough water in the water tanks. Blame climate change. The fire hydrants aren't working. Blame climate change. Why don't we have water in reservoirs? Well, we tore the dams down because of some little smelt. And the radical environmentalists wanted us to. So, of course, Governor Newsom did. He tore the dams down and got rid of the water. Well, now we don't have water. Blame climate change. Jesse Waters made the point last night. And up until this past summer and this fall, they had two of the wettest years on record in California. The two of the wettest years on record. Now this year they had a dry year. Blame climate change. I didn't blame climate change when they had a whole bunch of water a year ago and the year before that. But now, because they failed to hold on to that water, they just want to blame climate change. Anyway, this is a point that Mark Levin opened up as he was interviewing Montana Senator Tim Sheehy.
And they're not doing it, particularly in states that buy off on this climate change, this radical environmentalism. There are things they can do in these forests and so forth to try at least to limit the damage that is caused. Do I have you right?
You're 100% right. And Mark, two things can be true. We can care about the environment and want to steward our forests and our clean water and clean air. We can also take care of our communities and do a better job of protecting them. And what you said is absolutely right. We're seeing these left-wing lunatic policies in California, and the accumulation of these policies has impacts. When you have endangered species acts, you know, that prioritizes the Eurasian snail fish over water pressure and fire hydrants, and we don't have enough water to fight fires, that has an impact. When you cordon off forests and say you can't touch these, you can't log these, you can't have roads in these, guess what? You can't fight a fire if there's no road going in the forest. When you cut our aerial firefighting fleet, our air taker fleet, in half, which is what we've done in the last 20 years, guess what? We have less planes to fight fires. So these wrong-headed policies have impacts, and the impacts we've seen in wildfire from Lahaina in Maui, where 100 people died, to New Jersey in November, to Texas in March, and now we're seeing Los Angeles, downtown L.A., burning in front of our faces. This is a disgrace. We can do it better. I spoke to President Trump just about an hour ago during our meeting about it, and he is 100% behind us. We're going to fix this problem, and we're going to do it fast.
And isn't it amazing, Senator, that the very people who claim self-righteously to be protecting the environment, in effect, they're destroying the environment. Imagine all the air pollution, the water pollution, all the dead animals as a result of their policies. I mean, again, they may not have started these things, but they don't make it easier to be more effective in managing them. This is your background, correct?
Exactly. As you might remember in our campaign, you know, John Tester and the Democrats tried to destroy my company and my team. We're aerial firefighters, Bridger Aerospace, great company. And those red-yellow planes you see fighting the fires in Pacific Palisades today, those are the type of planes that I personally flew. It's an important mission. And to your point exactly, these crazy policies that are restricting logging in our forests, they don't let you build roads in the forest, they don't let you – here's a great anecdote, Mark. There'll be a reservoir right next to a fire where you can scoop with those planes or a helicopter and have half, you know, 2-minute turns, 3-minute turns to drop water. They'll send you 20 minutes away to a different body of water because of some mussel or Eurasian shellfish or endangered species. Say, no, don't touch that water. That water's special. So let the houses burn. Go get the water 20 miles away. Meantime, people are running for their lives, and we are prioritizing obscure endangered species over the safety of our communities. And this, Mark, is what America First means. When Trump says America First, you know, people say, oh, that's isolationist, that's tariffs. You know, it's a whole collection of ideas that says it's not too much for the American people to ask for their government to put their interests first. And putting the safety of our communities first is not crazy. It's common sense.
All right. Yeah, it was, anyway, incredible interview there with Mark Levin and Montana Senator Tim Sheehy about 6:15, 6:20 last night. Senator Sheehy was also live on the air with Laura Ingraham on Fox News on TV as President Trump took to the microphones on Capitol Hill. So lots to talk about. Fred in the Flathead, I think we're going to get some great insight from him on the phone lines right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Profit, greed, getting rich. You ask people what the problem is with healthcare, and these are the answers you often hear. Simple explanations, heroes and villains, big pharma, insurance companies, middlemen. I probably won't convince you otherwise in the next 30 seconds, but think about this. Doing well by doing good, making money by providing things of value, is the driving force of economic prosperity. To turn it around the other way, if inventing a better mousetrap does nothing to benefit the inventor, don't count on any inventing to be done. It can work that way in healthcare as well, but the incentives have to line up. And with third-party payers dominating how things are paid for in healthcare, they often don't. Worse is when incentives reward things that are actually bad. Medical providers, many of which are large companies, are rewarded from getting more money from government programs like Medicare, more complex diagnoses, more wasteful tests. Incentives are what need fixing. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right. I may play a little bit more of that conversation with Mark Levin and Montana Senator Tim Sheehy here a little bit later in the program. Lots to get to here. But, hey, I think it was Fred in the Flathead, one of our friends on X. I was getting these messages the moment that these fires started breaking out down in L.A., And it was just crazy hearing some of the scanner traffic, you know, the communications between law enforcement and firefighters and first responders, and then what looked like a Blue Force tracker, to use a military terminology of it, to see all the aircraft, you know, the icons of the aircraft that were on station and different things like that. And then I got another video showing one of the night flights over the fires as well. Just absolutely crazy looking. So, Fred, yeah, I don't know if you're down there as we speak or not, but either way, I appreciate you sharing information. What's on your mind? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, you know, I'm down here working in the area, working in the region, and worked a night shift last night and working with aviation. Interesting topics, and you know, I'm just a guy here. I'm not speaking for any of the agencies, and I don't have any, you know, information about any of the ground issues, you know, the water and the fuels treatments. I can speak generally about that. I have experience doing controlled burns and fuels management in my past. Working for one of the large agencies down here, and it is multivariate problem. You know, on one hand, you could say, like, you know, fire is a feature of the West, and people from Montana can understand that. So, you know, there's things you can do ahead of time and prepare for it. You know, but it's some level of disaster. It's kind of like yelling at the people in a hurricane. They should have stacked more sandbags. But there is a lot that can be done, you know, ahead of it. But it is kind of important to, as much as I do, kind of like when the politicians get beat up, there is a plenty of blame to go around. And, you know, in this particular fire, a lot of the land adjacent to where the fire started would be under federal management, under the Park Service. And, you know, I'm not blaming Ryan Zinke, he was the Department of Interior, for not doing control burns up there. You know, in Newsom, California is responsible for private land, and they can do control burns and fuels treatments on people's property, but the property owner, as we all would appreciate, can't be forced to participate in that. And so it's more complex than just saying, you know, let's go rake the forest and get up in an airplane. You can see a sense of the scale on things, but not to make excuses, there is a lot that can be done to mitigate these.
Yeah,
things.
But and even all that aside, though, what's it like just being down there? How would you describe the magnitude of these fires and the response? I heard a former firefighter from that neck of the woods on Fox and Friends earlier this week, and he was like, you know, this is a lot like 1993. You had a fire here, then it moved up to here, then it moved up to there. Now, obviously, this is bigger than 93, but the movement and the locations reminded him exactly of 1993.
Yeah, very much, and I was on that same fire in the general area in 93, and it is really devastating. And you know, there were similar fires in the early 60s that burned in some of the similar areas, but you know, if you can picture you know, driving northbound on PCH coming, you know, past Santa Monica, if you're familiar with that, and the pier, it's kind of a popular spot, it's in a lot of movies and stuff, and you're leaving Santa Monica heading north, leaving, and all the homes that are on the left adjacent to the ocean are just, there's just a bunch of those are just leveled, and entire neighborhoods, and it's burned down into the commercial areas. And it just kind of goes to show you that, you know, at some point the wild land abuts a town. And when the fire comes roaring out of the mountains, you know, it can just plow down into town too. So,
yeah,
it is devastating. And so I don't guess, you know, my thing is like, hey, let's learn, let's adapt, do the best you can. But you're right, there are a lot of environmental things that, you know, generically are probably well-intended, but they do slow down some of these fuel treatment projects. But, you know, that's just one dimension of it. And
well, I remember, Gal, recently, maybe a year or two ago, we were talking about how beaver dams, fake beaver dams, people were creating fake beaver dams in California. And, you know, farmers and ranchers here in Montana would be no strangers to this subject, because they might do something similar here as a way to retain and store water, right? Because you get all that water in the spring or late spring, early summer, and then it all gets flushed downstream. But hey, things will dry up. That's just the tale of the West. And so that's why we like to hold on to that water. In California, they were rebuilding these little beaver dams, these fake beaver dams, as a means to store water because that replenishes the ground and then helps prevent fires, not to mention it's good for agriculture as well, but it also helps prevent fires. And so yeah, just this idea that they were just tearing out these dams, flushing all this water out, and then boom, now they've got this massive problem.
Yeah.
Hey, well, Fred, I appreciate you calling in. Thanks for all you're doing down there, you and all the firefighters and everybody else, all the other support staff that it takes to really go in and tackle these things that you're probably not getting much sleep. So we appreciate you calling in and everything you're doing down there.
Yeah, you got it.
All right. Hey, thanks. Yeah, and keep us posted as well. I appreciate your insight. 406-294-0970 is the number for you if you want to jump in on the conversation or if you got something you want to talk about. Before I get to Chris in Billings, real quickly, what Fred in the Flathead or Fred from the Flathead was talking about there about this urban wildland interface. I don't know if that was included in the Mark Levin clip that I just played a few minutes ago. But I know when Senator Sheehy was on with Laura Ingraham last night, he specifically talked about what Fred just mentioned with the urban wildland interface.
Tim Sheehy continues with us, of course, new senator from the great state of Montana, who has a little experience in fighting fires. Senator, tell us about that meeting with President Trump today. He is raring to go. I saw him on Saturday night. I had a chance to meet Georgia Maloney briefly. Tell us about what he said and what the future looks like.
It was a fantastic meeting. And like you said, we actually started off the meeting talking about these wildfires for several minutes. You know, those red and yellow planes you showed on the screen, I used to personally fly those. Our aircraft, we don't have enough planes. We don't have enough firefighters. And President Trump committed that he's going to make sure we put our communities first. We're not going to put the Eurasian shellfish first. We're not going to put, wrong-headed environmental plans first. We're going to make sure we can protect our communities from wildfire from coast to coast. We discussed the Panama Canal. You know, that's been top of news lately. But like you said, it's a national security priority. We lost 38,000 lives, spent, I don't know how many billions of dollars in today's money building an engineering feat that's literally changed the face of the globe. We have to be able to move our ships from the Atlantic to the Pacific. We need to have free commerce. China controls that canal. They've been taking advantage of it. They're violating the treaty obligations. It's about time we take it back, and we support them fully in that. It's a commercial and national security priority for us. And of course, we talked about the mandate we have coming out of this election. And the fact that the American people are not going to sit around and wait, and they're not going to listen for process excuses. They want results. So we need to pass these bills, one big, beautiful bill, five bills, 10 bills, whatever it takes. We need to get to work to secure the border, bring inflation down, and bring common sense back to this government.
Yeah, great line right there as well. Like, hey, no more process excuses or inside baseball nonsense. One bill, two bills, 15 bills, whatever it takes, get the job done. Violence of action. All right. Yeah, and he talked more about how, look, this is what America First is all about, making sure that we have the ability to protect American communities first and not see them literally get burned to the ground. By the way, earlier this morning, Joe Biden just shipped another $500 million over to Ukraine. Let's see. Next up on the phone lines. Yeah, I mentioned we got Chris in Billings on the line. Chris, what's your thoughts this morning?
Hey, Aaron, two things. I used to live in California, Orange County, the Bay Area, and Fresno under Schwarzenegger and Brown. And regulation is what's really causing the problem there. But the reason I called is I listen to a lot of other radio stations where people group together, people for Trump, as ardent followers, and they'll listen and do whatever he says. That's a mistake the Democratic Party makes. They group everybody together. It's not that way. I'm happy that Trump is pushing back. I was happy to hear that when he came down the escalator the first time, finally somebody's pushing back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, so, a fighter who, I think, to your broader point, too, which is like, it's like yesterday we had Sheriff Slaughter on from Cascade County, the sheriff there talking, and he of course he was talking full support for Kash Patel, President Trump's nominee to head up the FBI, and he says, yeah, we support President Trump and his policies, but at the same time he said, look, if I disagree with something, we're gonna hold his administration accountable too. And so it's about doing the right thing. But I 11 days I think it is now, can't come fast enough, can it?
No, not at all. Real quick, and the people that are pushing back and trying to counter everything he's going to do, that's just going to expose them. And that's what happened last presidency. He exposed all these people that are rhinos. I can go down the list. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so. Yep, and grifters especially as well, yep. People that are just profiting from the system with the same old nonsense. All right, Chris, good to hear from you. Thanks for the phone call. Tanner Smith, stand by. You'll be first up after the break. Francis in Big Fork first. Francis, what's on your mind?
Well, we lived in California in the 60s, and there was fires coming from the north, the east, and the south. And you could see the flames from our house. And that was getting pretty darn scary because the only place you could go was the ocean. And you can't throw 2 million people in the ocean and try to, you know, that at the same time. So it was really scary when you can see flames coming.
It's fire has always been a part of the landscape. It's what do we do to mitigate it? What do we do to prepare for it? And what do we do to respond for it instead of just sit back and blame climate change, right?
Yes. And in Montana, you know, like when they have all them beetle kills, if they'd let the guys come in and take all the bad, you know, the dead lumber, and let them use it because it was only good for about a year. And they could have saved a lot of these fires from burning.
That's right.
And have so much dead wood laying around.
Instead, the environmentalists and the liberal judges want the dead wood to stay there and fuel bigger fires down the road. We've seen it time and again, haven't we? Francis, thanks for the call.
We're in
credit for the 2023 session. We're going to do it for the 2025 session. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Every Thursday on our show, we're going to hear from legislative leadership. Maybe a recap of everything that took place at the Montana legislature or a look ahead at what they're working on right now. Coming up every Thursday, we're going to be joined by Senate President Matt Regeer out of Kalispell. He'll join us for our first update of the 2025 session coming up Thursday, statewide, Montana Talks 9 to 10 right here.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Foligno. Post Malone is being praised for delivering a Christmas miracle to a single mom working as a bartender in a local Texas dive bar following his performance in Houston at the Texans game. Malone rolled into the bar alongside Shaboozy, who also performed at the Beyonce halftime show, when he learned his bill had been covered by his crew and some regulars at the bar. Malone had Brene Brown ring him up for any amount so he could leave her a tip. The 36-year-old charged him $1, bringing his total plus tip to $20,001. Realizing that he just gave her a 20 grand tip, the single mom of a 9-year-old immediately broke down crying. She posted a pic of the two of them together on her Instagram, writing, "Going into work Christmas Eve, I was so sad I had to leave my baby girl, oblivious that God would send me a Christmas miracle." That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we've got David Spady joining us here in just a few minutes. David Spady, some of you may know his name, great guy, lives in Bozeman, but he also has to spend a lot of time down in Southern California. He works for Salem Communications. He's a, you know, and then he's a great kind of a conservative strategist, consultant. I don't even know if he's a consultant. He's everywhere. If there's something big going at Mar-a-Lago, David Spady is there. But, Salem Communications, for those of you listening to KJJR, of course, that's Hugh Hewitt. His radio show is part of Salem Communications. Sebastian Gorka and so many others are part of Salem Communications. But I want to get David Spady's take because he grew up here in Montana, and he spends a lot of time in the outdoors, but he's also had to spend a lot of time in Southern California. So we're going to get his take on these fires down there and so much more. First, though, let's go to Tanner Smith, I think, in Lakeside this morning. Tanner, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Thanks, Aaron. Great show as usual. I just have 2 points for today. Point number one, I just forwarded my Smith Oracle Act to Senator Sheehy, so hopefully he can get something done with that with regards to these fires so Montana doesn't become like California.
Nice.
Oracle stands for Opening Road Access, Clearing Lines and Exits. It's a way that we can legally get back into these forests. And when the lawsuits start flying from the environmentalists, our county commissioners have legal standing to push back and fight back.
Yeah, sense, right? Just common sense, yeah. Emergency access, yeah.
Yeah, just to cut these fuel lines in. Because our poor friends in Kootenai County, or Lincoln County up there by the Kootenai Forest, maybe Troy, Eureka, they're 95% surrounded by national forests that they can't touch. So those folks need our help. They're losing their insurance policies because of the fire risk. So that was one of my things as governor that had I won that we were going to get pushed through. And hopefully Tim Sheehy can go ahead and take that baton. I don't care who gets the credit. We just need to help our folks. And then number two, as committee man, I'll be back in Washington, D.C. here January 15th through the 19th. And I'm pursuing copyright, trademark, branding, and franchising the word Republican. Because my friends, President Regeer and Speaker Lehr, you know, these are not just my friends, but they're my Republican teammates. And we need to make sure that if you're going to ride for the Republican brand, you're going to adhere to our platform, and you're not going to be turncoats when the votes matter. So that's what I'll be doing in Washington here in next week.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I know a lot of us are very concerned with this rules fight in the state Senate this week, where it's like, okay, here we go again, a handful of Republicans voting with Democrats. But we're going to have Senate President Regeer join us here at the 9 o'clock hour. So looking forward to hearing from him as well. And of course, Speaker Lehr, incredible leader there on the House side as well. Tanner, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. We've got David Spady with us and now on the phone lines. Well, first off, David, you know, let's start with some good news. Maybe I'll run into you at the Trump inauguration here. I'll be in D.C. for the inauguration coming up Monday, January 20th. 11 days, not that anybody's keeping count, right?
Well, we are keeping count, and we get a bigger grin every day as we get closer to that moment.
Yeah, it's a man. What a path of just disastrous decisions Joe Biden is leaving in his wake. It can't come soon enough. And then immediately after the inauguration, I'll be doing a live show from Capitol Hill Tuesday the 21st, and then I'll be at the SHOT Show for 3 days of coverage. Maybe we'll see you at the SHOT Show again.
Well, I am going to be in D.C. for the inauguration. In fact, I'm in Washington D.C. at the moment, and I'm going to try to make it to SHOT Show, but I'm supposed to speak in Reno on the 22nd, so I'll see if I get back down to Las Vegas for the last day.
Well, and then SCI is going on, I think, back in Tennessee as well. So, man, there's so much going on that week. It's just crazy. Well, I was telling our listeners, you know, you grew up in Montana. You still live in Bozeman, but you still spend a lot of time in Southern California as well through your tenure at Salem Communications, which has just a great lineup of radio hosts and other influencers. So you spent a lot of time down there. What your take on just the fires, how massive they are, but also how, you know, if we had listened to, you know, President Trump and Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke, and we probably wouldn't have the massive problems that they're seeing down there right now.
Well, yeah, I lived in the Los Angeles area for a long time, and I still have my office in Ventura County, just north of the Malibu area. And, you know, fires are very common there, and high winds are common. So, you know, it's expected you're going to have fires, and nothing would probably have prevented there, you know, a fire and having some damage, but the impact of it could have been mitigated with better policies. And that goes, you know, all the way through the, how we do prevention and how we do firefighting. And if you think about just the fuels that it takes to, you know, really get these fires going, same thing happens all across the West with forests that aren't managed adequately, that have a lot of dead timber. We don't do the kind of thinning or logging that we should be doing to, you know, keep our forests both healthy and to prevent these catastrophic wildfires. So wildfires become much more catastrophic when you've got, you know, a lot of fuels. And we used to do a lot of grazing in Southern California on public lands, which is, you know, where a lot of these wildfires start. And when you have grazing and you have some kind of cutting and, you know, at least keeping distance between where homes are and where this wild brush is, it does do a lot to prevent, you know, the catastrophic kind of fires that we see. But environmentalists, you know, a long time ago decided that they didn't want these natural ecosystems disrupted by something as simple as grazing or, you know, doing some kind of brush cutting. And that's a big reason why we have larger fires than necessary or have an inability to contain them when they first start, because it's really hard to either get to them or to have some kind of a break between, you know, where they're going to go and the ability to stop them there.
Yeah, so Jesse Waters had a great segment last night where he, you know, used President Trump in his own words when he was on camera as recently as this past fall, where he was telling California, look, here's what you can do. You've got a lot of water in the north. Instead of just spilling that out into the ocean, you can divert that down south, and then you have the water. And now everybody's wondering, why don't they have water? Why aren't the fire hydrants working?
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy to not have fire hydrants that are working. And obviously, the, you know, the higher elevations with that were something that they didn't anticipate with water pressure needs. But you have to anticipate that kind of thing. And, you know, the problem in California when it comes to water is that, again, it goes back to these environmental policies that want water to run out to the ocean. And they want the water for the fish, not for the human use or for you know, farming and things like that that we rely on. So those policies need to change. And, you know, California has not built a major dam or water retention system in decades. When they do allocate money for that, it's got all kinds of strings attached. There's court fights with environmentalists over any kind of even raising the level of dams. And so, you know, something like this might be a wake-up call, especially when it hits, you know, people of influence within Hollywood who say, well, you know, as much as we want to protect the Delta smelt, we want to protect our livelihoods and the human populations even more, and we got to change our policies.
Well, yeah, that leads into kind of the next question that I was thinking for you, which is, I don't know if it was Christina Wong with Breitbart or if it was the Claremont Institute's Jeremy Carl, who also lives in Bozeman, but they said, you know, they were pointing out how, you know, is how many people in Los Angeles are now going to be red-pilled by this type of an event, because if this doesn't wake you up, because I think I saw people were shocked that they didn't realize how many people in L.A. ended up voting Republican. The polls didn't pick it up, but I think didn't like 40% of people even in L.A. ended up voting Republican, which is a big shock to some people.
Yeah, and the way the mayor has handled this, I think is another wake-up call that, you know, we really need people that are efficient at doing the job and ready to do the job and you know, not voting for people because we kind of like what they say it on some particular issue. That we really have to do a better job of vetting the people that are being elected. And I think this is a kind of wake-up call when you look at how Karen Bass has handled this versus how somebody like Rick Caruso, who's a very successful businessman, entrepreneur, and a guy who would have managed things much, much more efficiently if he'd been in charge. Again, not that you would have prevented the fires, but the impact of them and the catastrophic level. You know, homes in Malibu that are right on the water, literally with water going under the homes, under their decks in many cases, burning to the ground. You would think there'd be, you know, the ability to at least pump plenty of water from the ocean right there in front of them. But, you know, resources got spread pretty wide across the area, and there's got to be better preparation. But a lot of it just goes back to the preparation with making sure that the fuels on those hillsides are dealt with. And we're not more worried about some lizard or whatever in those areas. In that ecosystem, we can certainly, you know, have those ecosystems remain sound, but put stretches in between areas where we can sort of prevent these things from spreading so fast.
That's right. Well said all around. David Spady, I got to take a quick break here. If you want to stick around, you're welcome to, but I understand if you got to run as well. Hey, either way, hope to see you for our Tuesday the 21st live show from Capitol Hill in D.C., or if you make it to the SHOT Show, we'll be there Wednesday through Friday. You're welcome to come join us on the microphone at any point. Quick break, a few minutes left in the hour, and then a big lineup coming up at 9.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
This is what environmental radicalism gets you. I'll never forget, I went out to the San Joaquin Valley. I covered this for Fox. You had all these farms, massive farms, that were bone dry. And there was all of this water that was available to them. And it was not made available to farmers because they wanted to protect what's called the Delta Smelt. Now, the Delta Smelt, if you look it up and look at a picture of it, it looks like a little minnow fish. It's not even like an exotic fish. And by the way, not even an endangered species. And they cared more about the Delta Smelt than they did about the farmers, and the farmers lost their entire livelihood.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Hey, you're exhausted every day. Maybe you have the 3 p.m. crash or struggling with memory issues, having a hard time focusing. You have to stop and pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. I never run out of energy, and I'm fully focused. Strong Cell, it's a revolutionary supplement that has truly changed my life. I use it every single day. It gives you natural energy, helps me stay focused all day long, and just makes me feel better overall. Whether you're a working mom or dad or homeschooling your kids or some of our loyal men and women behind the wheel across the country, try Strong Cell. It'll change your life. Linda uses it as well.
I use it every single day. I have my kids using it, my parents using it, my in-laws using it, my friends using it, and I am telling you, it is immediate. Is one of the only ways you can get NADH on the market, and it works.
Go to HannityStrong.com, use promo code Hannity, you get a special 20% off any order. Once again, HannityStrong.com, and Strong Cell believes in their products so much, you get a 60-day no-risk policy. Invest in your health. I did it. It changed my life.
Securing America.
Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin convening a meeting of the multinational Ukraine Defense Contact Group for the final time during his tenure Thursday, a group which White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby says benefits America because
what happens to Ukraine, we very much believe, is in our national security interest.
Pentagon Deputy Press Secretary Sabrina Singh adds,
the UDCG has also been critical in bolstering Ukraine's defense capability and building a credible deterrence force.
The U.S. is expected to announce another $500 million in aid to Ukraine, leaving a little less than $4 billion in funds, which will roll over to the incoming Trump administration. Singh says DOD officials are not worried about aid ending because
Ukraine has bipartisan support within Congress.
President-elect Trump has been critical of the money spent on Ukraine's behalf. Kevin Uretsky,
206-201-6263.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas and Saunas Live Well, Feel Better Studio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, this is a cool deal here. David Spady, I know you spent a lot of time down at Mar-a-Lago. In fact, I remember when President Trump was out at the Big Yellow Barn, he recognized you right off the bat because you've gotten to spend so much time with President Trump. But I just got the governor's schedule. Governor Greg Gianforte, they release his public schedule every day. The governor is scheduled to travel to West Palm Beach to have dinner with President Trump at Mar-a-Lago. So, Governor Gianforte, that's where he's off to. You've been there many, many times yourself.
Yeah, in fact, this weekend I'm going to be in Palm Beach again. So it's a nice area to be in this time of year.
I don't know, with all that snow at Big Sky, I'd want to be at Big Mountain or Big Sky myself. But
yeah, well, it's that whole area has become the, sort of the central hub of all things Republican and in our world of conservative politics that has become the place where a lot of people are moving. A lot of organizations are headquartered there now, and you know, obviously Mar-a-Lago and Trump are a big part of that.
Yeah, it's more than just the Southern White House. It's becoming like the Southern Capital Region. If you have the National Capital Region, which is the NCR in the Washington, D.C., Virginia area, and now that Palm Beach area is becoming the SCR, the Southern Capital Region, yeah, very quickly with President Trump. You and I were BSing during the break. You mentioned how you're going to be speaking at a conference in Reno the same week that the SHOT Show is going on, and you were telling me the topic is wildfire prevention. You know, there's what are you going to talk about there? There's, you know, it's, you know, there's nothing in the news that could potentially come up for that kind of a topic, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, unfortunately, when people pay attention to it, it's usually when, you know, the skies are filled with smoke and there's a lot of catastrophic fires going on, and then the public pays attention, and then politicians begin to pay attention, and so. You know, those are the opportunities when we have to actually try to push for some change in policies. One of the big problems we have with the Forest Service and a lot of these environmental groups is their, you know, desire to prevent these natural ecosystems from being managed properly. And, you know, they view the natural world and as, you know, something that should take care of itself, and that man shouldn't be intrusive by doing, you know, thinning or clearing of forests. And that's wrong-headed thinking, and it's a big reason why we have these catastrophic fires. And in many cases, you know, like some of the fires that have started in California, even in Montana, with downed power lines, that could be prevented. You have trees that fall over on power lines, but you have these policies with the Forest Service where they have a setback. You know, you can't do anything to a tree without their permission, which can take, you know, a lot of time to get sometimes. And, you know, there may be a tree that when they built the power lines was 50 feet tall. Now it's 100 feet tall, and it's 50 feet away from the power line. And so when we allow those trees to get that tall, and you don't allow the power companies, utility companies, to go ahead and cut trees like that, it creates a situation where, you know, we're going to have trees falling down on power lines and starting fires. So
big issue for our electric cooperatives here. Yeah, for our electric cooperatives here across the state. Yeah, at least last I heard from them, unless something in new information has come out, but, you know, that there was a big fire near Townsend there for anybody who's taking the cut across from White Sulphur to Townsend to drive into Helena or back and forth. And that fire, you know, the Forest Service is saying, well, it's because of your power line that fire started. And the electric cooperative is like, yeah, we asked you if we could cut those trees that were close to the power line, and you wouldn't let us. And so, you know, the Forest Service, apparently, you know, feds are to blame, but then the feds want us to pay for it and potentially lose insurance as a result. David Spady, great to catch up with you as always, my friend. Look forward to seeing you in 10 or 11 days here when President Donald J. Trump is sworn in as the 47th president of the United States of America. Senate President Matt Regeer coming up right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Profit, greed, getting rich. You ask people what the problem is with health care, and these are the answers you often hear. Simple explanations, heroes and villains, big pharma, insurance companies, middlemen. I probably won't convince you otherwise in the next 30 seconds, but think about this. Doing well by doing good, making money by providing things of value, is the driving force of economic prosperity. To turn it around the other way, if inventing a better mousetrap does nothing to benefit the inventor, don't count on any inventing to be done. It can work that way in healthcare as well, but the incentives have to line up. And with third-party payers dominating how things are paid for in healthcare, they often don't. Worse is when incentives reward things that are actually bad. Medical providers, many of which are large companies, are rewarded from getting more money from government programs like Medicare, more complex diagnoses, more wasteful tests. Incentives are what need fixing. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.